Ready?
Ready. Welcome to the Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast with Abby and Molly. It's been quite the week.
Oh my gosh, quite the week.
All right, well, let's warm up the tires.
Let's warm up the tires. Episode 38.
Episode 38, we are nearing the end of season one.
Which means we are nearing the beginning
of season two.
And the race season.
And race season. And if you think you had fun with us this year.
Oh, just wait.
Just wait. We got so many fun things planned. It's only getting better.
It is. So today we'll kind of do some rundown of some news. We kind of teased about doing the CART IRL split over Valentine's Day, and since this will be released on Valentine's Day, there you go.
Yep, so we figured a little breakup.
And then a weird reunion. Our Woman of the Week is Billie Jean Dent Armstrong. Some shit we didn't make up back in 1919. The IMS used to sponsor cars.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Huh, that is interesting.
So I went on the Google again. So let's talk about the most exciting news that kind of happened between us recording and dropping the podcast is that everybody revealed their liveries.
Yes, they did.
And they all look sharp.
Oh my gosh, they look amazing.
First of all, not a lot of blue and white cars.
Thank God.
Oh my God.
We'll actually be able to tell cars apart.
Spotters won't be like, eh, it's a blue car.
Right.
Eh.
One of you needs to watch out for this. Whichever one of you is my driver.
Would one of the blue and white cars please let the other blue and white car please? We can't see. It's one of them. So, no, I think a big one for us is Ed Carpenter's green changed. I know that's the silliest thing, but they've changed the green.
They have. So one is still that deep hunter green.
I think it's black.
Oh, is it black?
Yeah. So Ed, the shared ride is the black car.
Gotcha.
And then Spencer's car is lime green.
Yeah, it is bright green.
Which we're down with.
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it looks great. And his fire suit looks sharp.
It does with the piping that's in that green.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're big fans of the fuzzy cars anyway, but yeah, that new green. Mm.
Fantastic.
I think that seems to fit Spencer.
I think so. I think he's, well, Joseph is young, but JR wasn't. So going back to a newer driver, a brighter color, I think it works.
Yeah.
And his little blonde hair.
Yeah, no, I think it just fits.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Who else? Sebastian Bourdais' car, did you notice the nose cone of it?
I did not.
Oh, it's like a little shark.
Really?
It's not a shark, but it's got like a mean, like a face, and it reminds me of the bombers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's...
Yeah, like the World War II.
The World War II. And Vassar is actually going to be with Dale Coyne, so he's jumped back in after about a year out.
Okay.
So it was... Sure. Let's see if I can pull it up.
That's awesome. Yeah, we'll make sure to...
We have.
Oh, okay.
We have.
All right. Happened while I was working or sleeping.
I think so, but that's cool. Darn it, that's not it. Dixon with PNC.
Yep.
That was nice.
Oh, very cool.
Mm-hmm. Black and white. Kind of like waspy and dangerous.
Yeah, I like it.
It reminds me of a very sharp insect, so...
Yeah. Yeah, that's very cool.
I mean, ABC Supply cars are ABC Supply car colored. The Penske's haven't changed that much.
No, they haven't.
But seeing everything on the new car is really cool.
Yes.
I think that new design really works well with the cars being painted and whatnot. Like, it makes them look sleek.
They do. They just look sharp.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, it's only a few more weeks to St. Pete.
It's getting closer. It's getting closer.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Very exciting. All right, so.
Dale Coyne, we've got a little bit more details on the ride share between Fittipaldi and Clayman DeMello.
Yes.
So Fittipaldi's going to be doing Phoenix, the Indy GP, the 500, Texas, Mid-Ohio, Portland, and Sonoma, with Zachary doing all of the others. They have not shored up his 500 ride yet, but I think everybody's still working on that.
Well, yeah.
I will say that in the news article I read about this, Fittipaldi said, and this is a direct quote, "It's no secret that I have an objective to one day race in Formula One. So I'm excited to be racing on a world stage like IndyCar this year.
So you're going to give a ride to somebody who doesn't even want to stay in IndyCar?
Thank you.
You know how many good drivers there are that their goal is to continue racing in IndyCar?
I was so mad when I saw
that. I mean, or, you know, at least just one, Connor Daly.
Just saying. I mean,
Jesus wept.
Why are we giving a ride to somebody who doesn't want to stay in our series? Like, if that's the if that's the issue we have in our series is attracting and maintaining talent, somebody who's came out and obviously has told this team, if they've already been giving out interviews, well, I really want to do Formula One, have been like, well, bye.
Yeah.
Don't let the door hit you.
Or the good Lord split you.
Don't stand in front of the car. I might sneeze.
That is...
It just irritates...
It's very irritating. And also, you know, our issues with, you know, fans and them being involved with drivers, you're not going to gain IndyCar fans if they start following him and then he goes to F1. You're actually going to lose fans because they're going to follow him to F1 or they're just not going to watch anything anymore.
Yeah. Or he's not going to have followers because... I don't want to do IndyCar. Well, I don't want to cheer for you.
Yeah, I'm not invested in anything he does this season. Nope. I mean, I already said when I was upset about it not being Connor Daly. I mean, I understand he's got, you know, he's a legacy, whatever, and no disrespect to Emerson Fittipaldi, but Pietro is Fittipussy.
Yep.
Yeah, that's his name this season now.
I mean, if you're going to try and do Formula One, bye.
Deuces.
GTFO.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you...
Yeah.
It just made me mad.
Yeah.
I don't.
I don't. Dale Coyne. Dale Coyne. Get your shit together.
What are you doing?
We're going to have a sit down with some of these team owners.
I think so. I think that really is what we need to do.
Yeah. Larry Foyt.
I mean, that one's going to have to wait for a bit.
Yeah. We're going to have to cool down.
I'm still not.
No, I'm not ready.
I'm still feisty about it.
I'm still very feisty. This just makes me even more feisty, actually.
Anyway.
Yeah, fuck you, Fittipaldi.
Right? Like, I want to do F1. Well, then go fucking into the F1 feeder series. Don't be an IndyCar.
Yeah.
I'm angry. Anyway.
All right. So, Scott Dixon tested the new car with the windshield.
Yeah.
And I appreciated the pictures that they posted on this one. It was easier to see, you know, kind of where it is on the car. And it does not look like it's going to inhibit getting out of the car.
I don't think so. It does wrap all the way around, but I also appreciate that. But
it tapers. Yeah.
And it looks good. I know I've been reading online, and of course, you know, like the number one rule is don't ever read the comments. Well...
Oh, I love to read the comments.
I know, but
it is my favorite.
It just gets me so upset.
Part of everything.
Because people on the 100 are like, well, we don't want our drivers to get hurt, but this doesn't look pretty. And I was like, well, first of all, you're wrong.
Yeah. Secondly, it's a car.
It's a car. I don't think it takes away at all from the aesthetic. And
it's clear, okay?
It's not done yet. Like, they're not just going to slap. Like, they're still testing it. I imagine they might fine-tune it a bit more. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, well, it just got bolted into the car. They're testing
They're testing it.
So they need to be able to remove it.
Yeah. We're beta testing right now.
So
okay?
Calm down, everybody.
Before we go full on monkey in a cage.
Oh, no. We've already hit fanboy rants.
Yeah. We're shitting in our hands and throwing it.
But I hate it when they're like, well, we don't want them to get hurt. But is this the way to protect them? How else would you think about protecting them from debris? Because the halo, obviously, is a shit show.
The halo is a shit show.
I don't think it would work.
It's not going to work
regardless of the aesthetics. I don't think it would work against any sort of... Unless huge, giant pieces, but it's
like,
still weird.
It would have prevented Justin Wilson's death.
I think so, yes.
But that is the only accident that I can think of in recent time that the halo would absolutely have prevented a death.
But the halo can't happen on ovals.
Won't work on ovals. The windshield... would not have prevented Justin Wilson's death. So I don't know what the windshield's...
Well, it comes up pretty high.
Yeah, so I guess things coming at you, you know, from the front. You know, what's interesting, and this kind of goes back to a previous episode that we've had about, you know, with the audible flagging, mm-hmm. With Indy sports car podcast people,
yep.
Is that if they added in the audible flagging... you would reduce your secondary accidents, and all of the things that they're trying to do are to protect you from things that happen during secondary accidents. And you should just prevent the secondary accidents from the first place. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be researching the windshield and the halo and things like that to make the cars safer, but I think that they are missing the mark on only going one way.
Yeah, I think you have to look at it across the board.
Yeah, it needs to be...
And maybe something's happening behind the scenes.
It's possible, but yeah, the audible flagging, I think, would be more useful.
Mm-hmm. Because that debris is just...
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't know.
Yeah.
But Scott seemed optimistic. I guess there's no real visibility issues. He did say it's weird to kind of get used to, which makes sense.
Yep.
I mean, if you're driving something for so long and all of a sudden you throw a windshield on it, yeah, you're going to have to get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
He did point out that it quiets the sound when you're in the cockpit.
Oh, yeah.
Because it reduces that wind flow onto the driver, so it quiets it, but then at the same time, there's not that airflow, so they actually kind of overheat a little bit more.
Oh. That makes sense.
I know.
It's like the difference of me driving in a convertible versus, you know, driving a motorcycle.
Yeah.
You know, both, I feel the air, but it's very different.
Yeah.
Very different.
And once he said it, I went like this. Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so that might not work out for them since we run over during the summer.
Yeah.
The tracks get hot as it is. I mean, they're already at risk of, you know, heat exhaustion, heat stroke.
Yeah.
You know, and they go above and beyond to maintain hydration and all that. But, you know, if your body temperature gets too high, it doesn't matter how hydrated you are.
They're still working on it. So yeah. It might have to be plug-ins for everything else.
But, yeah, that's something I would not have thought of.
Yeah. As soon as he said it, I went, ah.
Yeah. I mean, the quieter, but, yeah, cutting down on airflow.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Very interesting. Well. Yeah. It looked better than I anticipated.
It did. Looking at the pictures, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
This looks a lot better.
And yeah, because I was concerned. And it does not look like it's going to be a hindrance to get at, which was really my only concern with the windshield. Well, that and, you know, making sure that it's shatterproof. But, regular windshields are. So I figured that they would be using all of the best technology.
They're going to be putting shatterproof. I mean, otherwise you basically
Right, yeah. Since you said it's the same as the airplane windows, yeah. So...
Well, and then why put something on a car to reduce being hit by debris if it itself would become debris?
Yes. Yeah.
You're not really fixing the problem.
Yeah, no, I think we're just creating more. So.
I think so.
But yeah, but it definitely looked sharper than I anticipated. So.
Look good.
Interesting.
We'll see.
Yeah.
They're still testing. So the World Endurance.
Oh, and no issues with glares.
Yeah. So they hadn't had any glare issues.
Awesome.
I mean, I think, like I kind of said before, there's a bit of getting used to it.
Yeah.
And I think the way that it tapers is helpful for your peripheral vision, so you just don't have this, like, weird thing ending right in your peripheral.
Yes.
It's a taper. And I was like, that's smart.
That is smart.
So, we'll see.
Very cool.
Yeah. We talked about this last time with Alonso doing the various World Endurance challenges. So, they moved the 6 hours of Fuji? I don't know.
Fuji.
It had originally... oh my goodness, conflicted with the COTA, so the U.S. Grand Prix.
Yes.
So they moved it. However, now it competes with the Petit Le Mans.
Oh.
So it's actually screwed a lot of drivers who run both of those races.
Well, I bet Alonso is getting some hate mail.
He probably is. I mean, and some of
them... I mean, he doesn't ever look like he gives a fuck, but...
I mean...
I'm sure he will have the same face, which is...
Eh. I don't care.
Not my circus, not my monkeys.
I mean, I feel bad for those drivers because I bet a lot of them have contractual obligations and now they're kind of like,
Well, and they have sponsorship for specific races. And the point is that they are in those races so that these brands, you know, these brand names are getting seen and getting advertised. And now you have cut one out. I mean, are the teams going to be responsible for giving back some sponsorship money? I mean, this is going to be a contractual clusterfuck.
Oh, I'm so glad I'm not
across the board. Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure it's not...
All of their lawyers lost their shit
today.
They
just went like this.
Damn it.
Just call, every single lawyer involved in this just called in sick today and went, I'm not feeling
right. Right, they all said, on a fucking Friday?
Really, on a Friday?
On a Friday?
Can we not handle this Monday?
Right. We were going to leave early today.
This is not the stuff you drop on a Friday.
No, this is a Monday drop. Well, they did it on a Friday so that...
The internet can blow up over the weekend.
Yes, so that everybody can come back Monday with cool crankies. Heads.
Just crankies. Yeah,
but all of the lawyers said, well, you just fucked my weekend over.
Yeah, all the lawyers are like, son of a bitch.
Fucking Alonso.
Damn it.
Oh. Which we talked last time that, you know, it's interesting that they would move it for one driver. So here's another thing. And I like Alonso.
No, I know where you're going.
And I got nothing with Alonso, but it's playing favorites to change everything for one driver. There have been plenty of people who have, you know, done endurance racing, done all this stuff, and they haven't moved races for any of them. Maybe you won't get it all done in 1 year. Well, you have to make choices. You have to prioritize what's important to you and what's not. You know, the whole world's not going to change to meet your needs.
And if you look at it, the big race of the endurance is Le Mans, and that doesn't conflict.
No.
So he could run everything but this 6 hours of Fuji.
Yeah.
And...
Or he could just not run the U.S. Grand Prix.
Yeah.
If you want to do endurance races this year, then do endurance races.
See, and his big thing is Formula One is what he really wants, but I don't know. I just don't like this idea of, because it's a nightmare for everybody else.
It's a nightmare. I mean, it's really unfair to the other drivers and teams.
Yeah.
Well, and to the fans who have already bought tickets, like we talked about, plane tickets, hotel, all that. Everybody's already planned ahead.
I mean, it's October, so I think they just shifted everything around in October, but still.
I mean, but to go to Fuji, if you're going from the States, you've
gotta like plan and get ahead.
Yeah. Well, and
I think it's Fiji.
Fuji.
Which one is in Japan?
Fuji.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm like, it's not Fiji.
No, that's the
Fiji is beautiful, but
that's the island. No, it's not there.
I'm like, but no, there's not a racetrack there.
There is not.
I mean, I'm happy to go to Fiji and record from there anytime. Let me be clear. I'm happy to watch racing from Fiji.
I would again like to plug that on the Big Island of Hawaii, you could do a race.
You could. It's so expensive to get out there.
It is, but...
It'd be fun one time.
One time. Anyway.
Anyway, I digress. But yeah, well, and so again, you know, I love to hate Juan.
Yeah.
But he is the only active driver alive who has won two of the three requirements for the Triple Crown of Autosport.
Yeah.
Alonso has only won one.
Yes.
And
say that twice.
Juan doesn't even have a ride in the fucking 500. I'm just saying, you're moving an entire race for Alonso, and we have a driver, an actor driver, who wants to continue racing, who Penske won't let out from under his thumb to actually let him ride with anybody else in IndyCar.
After he said, yeah, he can find a ride with somebody else.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he doesn't have an 8500 ride. He doesn't have a full-time IndyCar ride, even a part-time IndyCar ride. He's doing the sports car thing. And he's the only active driver alive who's met two of the three, and nobody's making any special...
treatment for him.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I mean, I'm sure that's because Alonso's easier to deal with, but...
Well, probably.
Yeah. But...
He seems easier.
He just seems low maintenance.
Yeah.
I mean, just his look of, like, always being done, like, he's just like, fuck it. Like, he seems like he's that guy that comes in, and you're like... And he's like, can I get a cup of coffee? And you're like, do you want cream sugar? He's like, I don't fucking care.
He's like, just a cup of coffee.
Like, I feel like he's low maintenance just because his attitude about everything is like, fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like a beer. What kind? Cold.
Yeah. What do you have?
Right. Cold.
Yep. Oh, grid kids. Grid kids. That's the new thing.
Yes. I saw that.
And they're pulling from, like, the junior leagues around F1, so the junior karting leagues.
Yes, which I think is awesome.
I think it's awesome, but the internet is still doing internet things.
The internet... One of the comments I saw I almost commented back, and then I realized that I was on our account and not my personal... And then I didn't, but I was deep in a comment thread, and there was no way that I was going to switch over to my personal and then go back just to comment, but I wanted to just be like, stop. But somebody had an issue with grid kids saying that the kids would, you know, be standing on the grid next to a driver that could possibly die during the race, blah, blah, and that could be traumatic. And I thought to myself, do you think, I understand that, you know, younger kids, understanding death, you know, all of that, but... They're going into racing. Don't you think it's kind of important that you discuss the dangers and the fact that people can die and why it's important to, you know, pay attention to your other drivers? Isn't that something that you'd want to start?
Yeah.
I mean, age appropriately, but as young as possible to promote safe driving?
I would think that any kid in karting already has the idea of, like, this is not the safest thing.
Right? You don't think that they don't know that drivers die sometimes?
Yeah, I feel like they know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was 12 when I went to my first race. I knew that people had died in the Indianapolis 500. I was not...
You kind of...
Right? I mean, my grandmother died when I was 9. I'd already been introduced to death. I mean, so, you know, a lot of a lot of kids have already had somebody in their family die at this point. But probably. Yeah, that comment, I was like, stop. Like, S-T-A-H-P, stop.
And then stop. Somebody else, I've seen a couple like, well, you know, the kids are on the grids, and what if somebody looks at them or leers at them or whatnot? And I was like, you can't. My brain just shut off at that moment.
Somebody leers at them?
Like, saying, well, you know, the grid girls got sexualized. What if the kids got sexualized? And I was like, I'm just done with the internet right now.
That's like saying, you know, we shouldn't legalize gay marriage because what's next? Marrying a dog? And you're like,
just calm down.
How
do you get there?
I don't understand how you went from this connection to that.
Right.
Right? What if somebody leers at the kids? Well, pretty sure registered sex offenders aren't allowed to be around kids. And where they're at, you have to have credentials. And if you don't think that they're not running a short background check on you before you get credentials on a grid.
Yep.
Yeah. So, guess what? Problem solved.
Yep. Don't worry about it, guys. Just let it go. Let the kids.
And also, you think they're just be running around by themselves? You think they're not going to have fucking handlers?
Right?
Yeah, like a parent's going to be like, okay, bye.
See you in a couple of days.
Drop you off at the front of the track and dip. Jeez.
No. First of all, mom's going to be taking pictures. Well, it'll be fine.
And other professional sports do this all the time. Yeah. And I love that. Basketball teams, soccer teams. Even some of my cousins in Phoenix, my cousin Chrissy's son, TJ, he plays basketball and he was eighth grade or ninth grade. He was on a travel team and they had done really well and they played like a little scrimmage game at the halftime of a Phoenix Suns game.
Yeah.
And, you know, got to meet all the players and all that. And we all went to the game and it was super cool. They had, you know, discounted tickets for, you know, parents and anybody else who wanted to come. And they got to play in that arena during halftime for an actual Phoenix Suns game.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And it was awesome. All of the kids loved it. All of the parents loved it. I mean, it was cool for us to see Teach playing in this huge arena. And to see a Suns game. It's, you know, it increases people coming to an event when you have local children that are involved. I think it's a great idea.
People are just doing what they always do. So,
yeah.
It's the F1 fandom, whatever. Main topic is that final CART IRL split and reunification.
Yes.
And I think we kind of covered the CART formation, but just as a quick background again, formed in 1979 when kind of a bunch of the team owners separated themselves from USAC, which was the governing sanctioning body.
Yes.
A lot of people point to Dan Gurney kind of wrote a white paper. I think it was more like an open letter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, white papers you use for something else. But in it, he kind of talked about the need for an advocacy group of owners to work on the promotion of races, you know, in the negotiation of television rights. They felt that USAC wasn't doing a great job of that. Of course, race purses, because at this point, the cost of racing had risen unbearably high and your winnings weren't.
And this is 1979. Safety was also still a huge issue.
Definitely. Yeah.
So drivers are getting injured, are getting killed, and all of this, and nobody's looking out for them. It's basically like a driver union, a race team union.
Yeah, it was more of a race team union because the team owners yes. are the ones part of it.
Yeah, and so it's like they're risking all of this and they're not even getting enough money to cover the cost of damage to the car.
And they said, you know, some sort of owners or part of this group should get seats on the governing body. Well, it was Gurney, Roger Penske, and Pat Patrick, and USAC basically said,
Who names their child Pat Patrick?
Thank you. At first, I was like, I'm spelling this wrong. And I had to look at it four different times. And I was like, nope, spelling it right. This is his real name, Pat Patrick.
I mean, it's catchy, but
way to go, Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
So obviously, USAC said nope. And so that led to the formation of CART, which was seen as the owner-run series. And most of the owners that we know now, you know, Ganassi, I don't think Dale Coyne was there. Andretti Green, mm-hmm. Penske, the notable holdout was A.J. Foyt stayed with the USAC 500 group, obviously.
Damn right. I mean, you four-time winner, you ain't leaving.
I ain't leaving.
You don't bite the hand that feeds you.
This is my track, I ain't leaving it.
Yeah, A.J. was like, I think that that's a good idea, but
I'm going to stay.
I'm cool.
I'm going to just stay here.
He's like, I've won four times. I'm cool.
So they operated separately. CART kind of did their own races. And, you know, as we all know, CART ran more road course races. Mm-hmm. In 1980s, there was a little bit of a murmur. CART wanted to make changes to the car, and the machinist unions kind of got a little cranky and got a little smarmy and said, well, these changes really only benefited the more wealthy car owners.
Mm.
But that kept going because I don't believe the machinist union at that time really had a strong voice.
Yeah.
So then we fast forward to 1991, where Tony George, been over the IMS,
mm-hmm.
he approached CART and said, you know, let's try and do a more overarching governing body with, of course, team owners and then track owners and sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
And CART said no. So Tony then just took a non-voting position on CART. And I think that's because at that point, the 500 was still part of all this.
Yes. Yeah, this was still, I say, it wasn't the
IRL yet.
Yes.
No. Yeah. So this is still back, but this is kind of how the split happened.
Yes.
We had to go backwards to go forwards. More issues happened. There were issues with engine leases. And then there were multiple chassis back then. And some new technology and some new safety technology wasn't going to be implemented yet because the other chassis manufacturers couldn't get it figured out yet.
Mm.
So people got a little cranky about that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and this was the time. So 500 was there. And one of the big sticking points was it was part of the schedule, but it wasn't given the deference in points. So, like, now it's a double point. You know, it's...
Gotcha.
They get double the points. It used to be until this year you got, you know, qualifying points, everything else. Well, CART just treated it the same.
Mm.
I mean, it sticks in my craw.
Yeah.
It's a big darn deal.
It is. It's our Super Bowl.
It is.
So, yeah.
So, eventually, in 1994, Ullman formed the Indy Racing League.
Which I have read some interesting articles, and one of them, and I don't remember the guy's name, but he was basically hired in to try and help mediate the situation.
Yeah.
And he said by the time he got there, it was too little too late. Everybody had kind of, it started, everybody started with good intentions, yeah. and it quickly devolved into a pissing contest.
As it does with men.
Yes.
I mean, let's just point out the obvious.
Yes.
As it does with men.
As it, yes. Not all, not necessarily all men, but as it.
When there is a large group of men who get together and they start to argue, it just, you know.
Yeah, it can go downhill fast. And it did. It turned into, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home.
Yeah, and everybody got kind of cranky with each other.
And said, fuck you, I don't need you, fuck you, I don't need you. And Tony George started IRL.
He was like, well, I'm going to start my own league and double middle fingers.
Yep.
I mean, I'm sure he didn't do that, but.
But yeah.
He thought it. And he basically did that. So, like, for the 500, there was the 25-8 rule.
Yes.
So, Holman said, yeah, 25 out of the 33 spots for the 500 are only for IRL cars.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, CART was pissy. Then there was a legal battle over the term IndyCar.
There was indeed. There was actually a year that we ran with more than 33 cars because the whole 25-8 issue.
Yeah.
And they allowed... Because there were a lot of IRL cars that qualified, and so they allowed they still allowed 8 on top of that. So I think we ran with 35 or 36 cars one year.
Yeah.
Which is just a fun fact.
Yeah, that is a good fun fact.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep, we have not run with 33 cars every year. We, yep, during the CART IRL debacle, we ran with even more cars. But yeah. That was back when there were still 40 cars. I mean, there was still bumping and people that didn't make it in, but yeah. They were only going to have a few spots, and, yeah, CART flipped out.
So both sides sued each other over the term IndyCar,
mm-hmm.
because it had been a patented term, and IMS held a patent, and IMS was trying to terminate the patent to basically, let's call it as it is, they wanted to screw CART.
Yeah.
And so you can't use this patent anymore. Well, CART sued, then IMS countersued, and they settled. So IRL would not use the term until 2003. And CART would stop using the term after the 1996 season. It's weird.
That's like when you're fighting with your sibling and your mom takes the toy and says neither one of you can play with it anymore.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to sit here on the shelf for 5 years.
Yeah. It has to sit here. You can't use it. You can't use it till it's out of timeout.
Yep. The term IndyCar got put on timeout. I like that. And of course, as we kind of talked about with Brian on Brian's interview... Eventually, CART tried to do the U.S. 500 in Michigan on the same day as the Indy 500.
And
it did not go
well. It did not go well.
No. CART crashed huge on the first lap.
Yeah.
And I think they restarted, and then there was another big crash.
Yeah, they...
Multiple crashes.
It was the perfect storm of a bad race, not to mention that it was competing with the Indy 500.
Yeah. I think Vasser won the U.S. 500, and...
In 96, Buddy Lazier won.
Yeah, I was going to say, and Lazier won. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, damn it, it's Buddy. What's Buddy's last name?
Yeah. It was Buddy.
Oh, Buddy. And so then between 97 to 99, no cars were in the 500. So they just separated. They tried the U.S. a couple of more times, and then they tried one at Gateway,
mm-hmm.
like the day before.
Yes, like on Saturday.
Separate again more people out. But eventually.
Eventually they came back together.
Yeah.
In 2000, the CART team started coming back to the 500, started with Ganassi, and then Penske came back, and they came back to the Indy 500. And that's when the reunification started, and everybody had to eat a little crow.
Yeah.
But I will say what was good for CART, I think, is that they came back in 2000, and Juan actually won the Indy 500. That was his rookie year.
Yeah.
In IndyCar, not his rookie year as a driver ever, but and he won the 500, and he was a CART driver.
Yeah.
And so even though CART was having to eat crow because their series was crumbling, they came back to the 500 and fucking dominated.
I mean,
so they were able to at least come back and say, all right, our championship might be failing, but
our drivers are pretty good.
We have better drivers, and that that was always their argument is that they had the best drivers.
They did.
And I mean, there are a few exceptions, but they did have a lot of your big name drivers.
Your big name drivers are definitely in CART. No, I agree 100% on that one.
I think it helped ease the salt in the wound for them to win that first Indy 500 back.
Yeah. CART, after that, you know, when teams started to come back just for the 500, CART continued to have problems. There was a Texas race in 2001, so the IRL cars had ran the same track earlier, no problems. Well, the CART cars... They couldn't handle the banking. The drivers were coming out. I want to say it was like 23 out of 24 drivers.
Yeah.
were having problems with dizziness and disorientation. They couldn't slow down the cars. They couldn't fix the problems.
Felt like they were going to black out.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, kind of a BFD when you're driving 200 miles an hour.
You don't really want that.
No.
No. So the event was canceled. The track sued CART, obviously, for canceling it. I think, you know, there's so much of a time frame where you might be able to cancel it, but if you cancel, you know, like 2 days out, because obviously they're on the track getting ready to go.
Yeah.
That the track's going to come after you.
Oh, yeah, because you're costing them a ton of money.
Yeah. So that probably didn't help them. And then 2002, Ganassi and Penske were permanently IRL teams at the start of the season. Andretti Green came over then at the end of 2002. FedEx pulled out of a sponsor for CART. And then Honda and Chevy also left.
Deuces.
So everybody just said bye.
Everybody abandoned ship.
Yeah. And so they filed for bankruptcy.
They sure did.
Yeah. In 2003.
Which is funny because that's how long IRL had to wait to use the word IndyCar.
Isn't that ironic? Don't you think?
Stop.
Sorry. I am sorry for that.
A little too ironic. And yeah, I really do think. only women our age are going to get that joke.
It's fine. It's cool.
So, yeah, first declared bankruptcy in 2003. They were bought by the Open Wheel Racing Series.
Mm-hmm.
They reemerged as the Champ Car World Series,
mm-hmm.
which also crashed and burned.
Yep, because in 2007, races started to get canceled for financial reasons, and guess what? They filed for bankruptcy again.
They did indeed.
And so, at the end of it, IRL kind of took over all the assets, and the two were folded back in together.
And at this point, it was still called the Indy Racing League.
Yeah.
But we were referring to the cars as Indy cars.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't just, you know, open wheel cars because they wanted to have, you know, the difference between the formula cars. Yeah. You know, there's many open wheel cars. And so they were just known as Indy cars, but it was IRL. It was Indy Racing. I mean, I remember.
Yeah, I think we all kind of remember it being IRL.
Yeah. They fold back into IRL, so they won.
They won?
But, I mean, really, everybody lost.
I mean, this is what people point to when you ask what happened. It's the split. NASCAR took over.
NASCAR did.
I'm unhappy that the split happened, but I'm not mad at NASCAR. That's just smart business.
Like, it is smart business.
Oh, you guys are, like, shit in the bed. Let's go.
Yeah. Oh, you're trying to split your viewership? I mean, it's the same with, with any election.
Yeah.
If you look at, you know, you've got two people in the same party in the primaries, if you have too many people, you're splitting your votes.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's like, okay, you need to pick one person and back. You know, not have 15 different options, and then you're splitting your vote, and then you're absolutely going to lose to the other side because you couldn't narrow down your choices. So, yeah, NASCAR just stepped right in. And so people wanted to watch racing. They didn't want the drama.
They didn't want to have to choose between 14,000 different open wheel races on a day.
Yeah.
I mean, I've watched the documentary, and it's not officially on ESPN. You have to search for it and then find it in YouTube. It's called, like, Outside the Line, 500 Miles Apart. Mm. And it's very interesting is they interview, like, two or three different families that literally were split on between the US 500 and the Indy 500.
Interesting.
And I even think, one of the Unzers ran the Indy 500 and the rest of the team and the family were doing the US 500.
Wow.
So when you talk about, like, families being torn apart.
Yeah.
Which seems dramatic, but...
But, well, and people had very strong opinions about this.
People still kind of do. I
mean, oh, absolutely.
We joke about it.
I mean, but I see anybody wearing a kart shirt, I give them shit.
Yeah, because technically you lost.
Yeah. Which, had kart had the Indy 500, they would have won.
I think so.
I mean, and, you know, Tony George founded IRL, and if his family did not own the IMS, IRL would have gone bankrupt. But he poured money into that racing league for years and years and supported it for a long time. So that's the only reason it's not that they had better business policies or better whatever. I mean, IRL was struggling as well.
Yeah.
They just had deeper pockets because Tony George was in charge.
It's the IMS. It's kind of the old battle strategy. Whoever has the higher ground wins.
Yeah.
You know? That's what whoever had the Indianapolis 500 was going to win.
They were.
They might have struggled just as much, but they still had the 500. And they tried with the U.S. Freedom 500, whatever they called it.
Yeah.
But you can't come in and try and steal something from...
No. Not a race like that that was so well established.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have... Yeah. A lot of other races, you could have been fine. But yeah, you were not going to take over Memorial Day weekend.
I will try and find a... but just search for the documentary. It's very interesting because a lot of people you see now at the 500 were at the U.S. Freedom, whatever, and they're like, whatever, the Indianapolis 500 is like not the greatest race. And I was like,
you shut your whore mouth.
Shut your whore mouth. Like,
you shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
David Letterman was at the U.S. 500 or 400, 500.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
his mom lives here.
Talking a little smack. And I was like, what? So it's an interesting time period.
Well, I'll have to give him shit about that should we see him this May.
You can't give Santa Claus shit.
Yes, I can.
It's Santa now.
He went to Ball State. I absolutely can.
I know, but it...
I love Letterman.
I mean, who doesn't?
But yeah, he does look like Santa Claus.
He does. I mean,
well, you know the four stages of a man's life. When they believe in Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
When they don't. When they are Santa Claus. And when they look like Santa Claus.
Okay. I like that. Very nice.
So he has reached the fourth and final stage of a man's life.
Well, that's kind of scary.
I mean, that stage can last for a long
time.
That's true.
But that's true.
Yeah.
Well, and he has retired, he really isn't Santa Claus anymore. He just looks like Santa.
Yeah. I mean, his kids are older.
Yep.
So he's not playing Santa Claus anymore.
Very interesting. Anyway.
Anyways. But yeah, if you think the US 500 is better, then...
Well...
From this podcast, we would officially like to say, fuck you, you're wrong.
Yeah. In fact,
I mean, you're wrong.
As much as we want listeners.
No, I'm just kidding. We already said, CART did have
the better
drivers.
Yeah.
They really did. And we will not deny that.
I'm just waiting for somebody who was involved in that process to finally write a book. Like, there's books that are out there, and I've kind of skimmed through them, but they're the very, like... technical, like, here's what happened next and here's what happened next, and it really doesn't dive into the human emotions that I'm sure happened.
I would bet that with everything that went on and all of the bankruptcy and suing and all of that business, that
it'll be a while.
Oh, I would bet actually that everything, when they went back together, that everybody has gag orders. I don't know that we will ever know the ins and outs unless you were...
Well, gag orders run out, so that's why.
Do they? Mm-hmm. Oh, I did not know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, at some point a gag order will run out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So.
It's a whole thing.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I thought that they were like forever and ever.
You really can't make an in perpetuity thing.
Oh.
Usually it's on things like this, I bet it would be until so many people have passed.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. It'll be an interesting read.
It will. So. It'll be a very interesting read.
We'll see.
Moving on to our woman of the week.
Billie Jean Dent Armstrong.
So she was the first African-American woman to compete in a nationally televised NHRA race, which is awesome. And by the way, if you haven't noticed, it is February. It is Black History Month. And so we are featuring African-American drivers.
Women.
Yeah. I mean, because we feature
women.
Women. And so we figured that we would do African-American women since it is Black History Month. So,
you know, why not?
Because we woke.
Yes.
So, first African-American woman to compete in a nationally televised NHRA.
Yeah.
She started in the late 1950s. Mm-hmm. First retired in 1975 due to lack of sponsorship, but she came back in 1995, which, that's a 40-year stretch.
I mean, get some.
Yeah. I mean, that tells me that Billie Jean is a badass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
To come back and be like, yeah, why not?
And you know, Billie Jean, that just sounds like I would like her.
It does. Like, she's a kicky broad. You know it.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is. I mean, 40-year difference, 40-year spread, and she's still like, I'll drive again.
Why not?
Right? She's been out on country roads, racing herself, doing her own time trials.
She's like, click, click, let's go.
Still got it.
All right. In a 1967 Chevy Chevelle.
Ooh.
Right? I was like, ooh, that's just pretty.
That is pretty. Mm. Oh, she was known as Mean Billie Jean. She was also called the fastest black woman in the East, which I don't know why we had to specify that she's the fastest black woman.
In the East.
In the East. Yeah, like, what does that mean?
I know. But.
Well, I guess, you know, east of the Mississippi, maybe?
Maybe.
I don't know.
It's hard to find stuff.
We're in the Western Hemisphere. It doesn't make. Yeah.
Yeah. But still, kind of a kick-ass nickname.
Yeah. Mean Billie Jean.
Fastest black woman in the East. That needs to go. I mean, I don't know if she's dead or not. I bet that should go on her tombstone.
Yeah, it should.
That's a pretty good epitaph.
Yeah. Just Mean Billie Jean.
Yeah. And I like that it rhymes.
Yes, I love that it rhymes. I'm so about it. I would literally do like a, you know, like how you can take a crayon and a paper and do the gravestone rubbing. Oh, I would absolutely do that to a headstone that said Mean Billie Jean.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever told you what I want my epitaph to be. It's stolen. Somebody else has this. I can't remember who it is, but it makes me laugh every time. It says, she went everywhere, including here. Against her better judgment.
I like that.
I was like, that's fitting.
That's fitting. I like it a lot.
Against her better judgment.
Shit
we didn't make up.
So, back in 1919, and I had to find a picture of a newspaper clipping. I got deep again, guys. It happens.
You went down the rabbit hole.
I did. I've been down the rabbit hole for a while on different things. The IMS sponsored at least three cars in the 1919 race, and they're either Peugeot cars or Premier cars. One of the cars was driven by Howard Howdy Wilcox. He had competed before, and he needed a ride, so he drove what was called the IMS Premier car. Fun fact, it was actually engineered by the Indianapolis Speedway Team Company, which was formed by James Allison, one of the founders.
Very cool.
I've been going real deep on the founders recently.
Oh, I know. You've shared some of your research with me.
It's been fun.
You know, well, okay, so this was, so you lived in Speedway for a little bit, but you never went to Speedway schools.
I did not.
Yeah, your parents did weird.
We went to the weird Montessori school.
Yeah, before it was even cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in Speedway schools, we all learned about the founders. So. You know, like, that was part of history. you know, we would do the normal stuff, and then it was, like, extra. Okay. you would learn about all of the founders because each of the four elementary schools were named after a founder. And so I went to Fisher, named after Carl G. Fisher. So he's my favorite.
Well, he's kind of awesome.
The
big one.
He's the HMFIC.
Yeah, let's just call it.
Yeah, and it's the closest school to the track, so.
I mean, we can see the track.
Yep.
From your house.
From my house. but yeah, so there's interesting. There's a lot of information about them. And so you did a little deep dive.
I've been doing deep dives on them for a blog that I'm working on. Anyway, so Howard, howdy.
Howdy.
Howdy, Wilcox. Driving the IMS Premier car, actually ended up winning the race. Now, that was back when they called it the Liberty 500 Mile Sweepstakes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was way back.
Mm-hmm.
It was an average speed of 88 miles an hour.
Flying!
Which I was like, I think we got a little faster than that, driving to and from Florida.
Yes.
In the Honda.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. But this was back in 1919, so it's interesting. There had been talk about, and the whole reason I came across this is that a lot of people have talked about, you know, IndyCar has been helping try to find Danica a ride. Well, it's not a new thing for the IMS to even sponsor cars. I don't think that's going to happen with Danica.
No.
But I just found this when I was doing some Googling.
That is interesting. I don't think that they would sponsor anybody at this point to avoid any appearance of impropriety.
I think so, yeah.
And favoritism. Because IndyCar and the IMS are just interwoven.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so many people that are, you know, heads of IndyCar that are located here that even have offices at the IMS. And so you really... You don't want to give any semblance, you know, any appearance of impropriety or favoritism or any of that.
No.
So,
yeah. That's interesting.
Well, it's very interesting.
I think it's that time and you don't have the music pulled up on your phone.
I don't.
So?
I don't because somebody didn't remind me. But you know what else? What we'll do instead of music is share our social media.
Oh, so, my goodness, we forgot.
That'll be my white flag.
All right. Well, what do you got then?
All right. Check out our website. We have been adding pictures from Daytona. We're going to continue to add the pictures from over the summer. www.fastcarsfastgirls.com. You can find pretty much everything from there, but I'll go ahead and give you the info anyway. You can find us on Facebook by going to facebook.com/fastcarsfastgirls or searching Fast Cars Fast Girls in the Facebook search bar. You can find us on Instagram @fastcarsfastgirls, our Twitter @fastcars317. Our YouTube channel, Fast Cars, Fast Girls, and our Snapchat, Fast Cars, FSTGRLS.
No vowels.
Because Snapchat hates us.
Yes.
In retrospect, I should have just had no vowels at all. That would have just been easier.
Yep.
But I didn't, you know what? Tequila was involved. Get off me. The Snapchat was created at the track while we were drinking.
Yeah.
Day drinking. So... I hadn't eaten anything and...
Day drinking was involved with that Snapchat.
Yeah, and it's like when Twitter used to actually limit you to 140 characters, and so sometimes you'd have to go through and use abbreviations for words. You'd have to go back just to make sure it fit in the message.
Dark days.
And so, you know, it's like I just started from... I was like, okay, I take out one vowel. Nope, not enough. Okay, two. And so I didn't look at it as a whole, so that's what happened. But anyhow, check us out. You can subscribe and listen straight from the website or on... Every podcast hosting site
ever. And the season is about to start up, so you really want to get on board with our social media.
Now's the time.
Yeah.
Like I told some of my family members, I said, have you been listening? It's going to be a busy season too. You want to get in on this on the ground floor.
Yeah, shit is about to pop off.
Shit's about to pop off. And we want to also thank everybody who has been listening and follows us and comments and that we've met and interacted with. So we really appreciate your support.
Yeah.
And we look forward to meeting more of you in the coming race season.
Yay.
So what's your right flag? And also, cart sucks. Sorry, I didn't get to give a personal white flag. Cart sucks. Okay.
I am... I don't want to go into it, but I'm very excited about the things that we have in the hopper for this podcast. So stay tuned. I'm excited that we're going to be wrapping this up, and we're going to go watch the Phoenix testing at 1911 Grill. So it's been a weekend already for us, and it's actually just Friday.
It's just Friday.
So who knows? Stay tuned.
Who knows what the future holds?
Only the shadow. No, that's not us.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Bye.